on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out onto the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God."
Thanks, Lane.
I know it was hard to read in that dark.
It wasn't all the darkness, though.
Did very well.
Have you ever been in a situation where you ran out of food to eat? Tell me, Sherry, what was that like for you?
Actually, we're in university. Okay. We were backpacking. A friend of mine, we're in New Zealand.
Yes.
And we did a five-day hike. And we ran out of food on the fourth day.
Oh,
so we had to finish the hike without food.
Yeah. And what was that like?
We were young enough at the time that, and it was so pretty that we were out. We were going through volcano regions that, you know, you made it.
Yeah, and you sort of knew you had an end
in
sight, like you would be able to be finished.
Yes.
Has anyone else had a situation where they had no food? Have any of you been on an airplane and be stuck on the tarmac for hour after hour after hour with no food? I've been there. Yeah, we have different situations that we encounter. And a friend of mine was recently put in that situation because she volunteered last summer to work with a group in downtown Toronto, which had a youth mission project to reach out to youth on the streets for Christ. And after she had received several weeks of training, the final orientation experience was outlined to her, beginning on Friday evening with only the clothes on their backs and a toonie in their pockets. They were sent out to experience life on the street. My friend learned that there is nothing comfortable or cool about being a street person. One of her most difficult experiences was being very hungry by Saturday night. Walking by restaurant after restaurant and knowing that there was food in abundance, she had no money and no means by which to access it. So she prayed and she begged, and God did provide. From the generosity of many, she had enough to buy a little, but it was not enough to sustain her much more beyond another 24 hours. And when Monday morning finally arrived, she found herself back at the youth center to enjoy a hot breakfast and have a debriefing session. How do you think the Israelites felt when they were in the wilderness and were hungry and weary and disgruntled? All the provisions that they had brought from Egypt were gone. Yes, God had saved them from the Egyptian army by miraculously parting the Red Sea. God had provided water, in fact, sweet water, and they had been thirsty, but now they were hungry. So what did they do? Did they pray to God? Did they thank God for what he had provided for them in the past? Did they trust in him for the next human crisis? No. Instead, they complained. Oh, if only we were back in Egypt where we had plenty to eat. They complained to their leaders, Moses and Aaron, but in reality, they were really complaining to God. And when we are faced with a crisis, things like job loss or not having enough money to pay bills, or a relationship that hits rocky road, or physical suffering, a crisis of faith often occurs as well. We ask, where are you, God, when I need you the most? Oh God, why have you abandoned me? Lord, it's not fair. I've done everything possible to serve you, and now this. Or we simply give up on God and walk away. I mean, why bother to trust in someone who allows bad things to happen to good people? But praise God, he is a faithful God who created us and knows us better than we know ourselves. What do you think the people of Israel deserved when they were complaining bitterly to God? Some might say they deserved God's wrath, his judgment, a rain of hailstones. But was this God's response to their murmuring? Let's look again at this scripture that Elaine read for us. God said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread down from the skies for you. The people will go out and gather each day's ration. I'm going to test them to see if they'll live according to my teaching or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they have gathered, it will turn out to be twice as much as a daily ration. Moses and Aaron told the people of Israel, this evening you will know that it is God who has brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of God. Yes, he's listening to your complaints against him. And you haven't been really complaining against us. You have been complaining against him. Moses said, since it was God who gave you meat in your meal in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, it's God who will listen to your complaints against him. Who are we in all this? You haven't been complaining to us, he repeated. You have been complaining to God. And then Moses instructed Aaron, tell the whole company of Israel, come near to God. He's heard your complaints. And Aaron gave the instructions to the whole company of the Israelites. They turned to face the wilderness, and then they saw the glory of God visible in a cloud. This is the response of a faithful, merciful, loving God. Not only did he provide meat and bread, he gave them a revelation of himself in that cloud. And that cloud was a physical representation of God for the people during this time of great need. What can we learn from this story? Well, I think first of all, we can learn that God wants to help us when we are in need. And he doesn't curse us even when we want to curse him. Even when we are doubtful that he can do anything, when we lack faith, and when we're in anguish of soul, God still hears. One day, a house caught fire, and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, calling to his son, jump, I'll catch you. He knew the boy had to jump to save his life, but all the boy could see were flames, smoke, and blackness. As you can well imagine, he was afraid to leave the roof. His father kept yelling, jump, I will catch you. But the boy protested, Dad, I can't see you. The father replied, but I can see you, and that's all that matters. God hears us when we cry out to Him. Secondly, I think we hear from this story that God will provide for our daily needs. For today, the present, right here, right now, for this moment, this next hour, this next day. He sometimes doesn't give us enough to get us through the week or the next month or the next year. And that's okay too, because it trains us to become very dependent upon Him. When I'm often doing the counseling that I do for people, very often I'm seeing people that are heartbroken, they're in great distress, they're having difficulty at school, difficulties at work, difficulties with work colleagues, and they'll often come in and they'll tell me the story, as I listen, of the distress that they're in. And one of the central core principles that I try to teach people when I work with them is that you will have enough for one day. And if their need is very great, I'll say to them, you will have enough to get through 1 minute. And when you get through that minute, you will have enough to get through the next minute. And I teach them to stay in the present. Because what often happens when we're overwhelmed with things that we're not expecting is that we become fearful. And fear is very powerful. And it can stop people from being able to trust that they will make it through another day. And so I very much focus people on the present. One day at a time, trust that you will be able to get through one day at a time. And that's what God did for the Israelites. He gave them enough just for one day. But they had to trust that the next morning there would be bread and that night meat, and that they would be able to satisfy themselves and also their families. God is a faithful God, we learn from this story. And we can stand upon the promises given in His Word because they are true. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, we have the promise of God's faithfulness. When we read, God is the rock, His work is perfect. Everything He does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright He is. And in Philippians 4, we read, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a promise that we will be able to get through minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, because it's Christ who strengthens us to do that. And then in John 14, one of my favorite verses is the promise of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And as we are learning together, I'll share a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. But I love this verse because it says, and I will ask the Father, this is Jesus talking, and He will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you do, because He lives with you now and later will be in you. The story is told of a weary pioneer who came to the banks of the Mississippi River for the first time. There was no bridge, it was early winter, and the surface of the mighty stream was covered with ice. Could he dare cross over? Would the uncertain ice be able to bear his weight? Night was falling, and it was urgent that he reach the other side. Finally, after much hesitation and with many fears, he began to creep cautiously across the surface of the ice on his hands and knees. He thought that he might distribute his weight as evenly as possible and keep the ice from breaking beneath him. About halfway across, he heard the sound of singing behind him. Out of the dusk, there was a man driving a horse-drawn load of coal across the ice and singing merrily as he went. Here he was, on his hands and knees, trembling lest the ice was not strong enough to bear him up. And there, as if whisked beyond the winter's wind, with the man, his horses, his sleigh, and his load of coal, upheld by the same ice that the pioneer was creeping on. Like this weary traveler, some of us have learned only to creep upon the promises of God, cautiously, timidly, trembling. We venture forth on his promises as though the lightness of our step might make his promises more secure, as though we could contribute even perhaps by being timid to the slightest of the strength of his assurances. He has promised to be with us. Let us believe that promise with confidence. Stand upon it. He has promised to uphold us. Let us believe that what he says he will do. He has promised to grant us victory over our spiritual enemies. Let us trust his truthfulness. Above all, he has promised to grant us full and free forgiveness from all of our sins because Jesus Christ is our Savior. And he has promised to come and take us to his heavenly home. Let us take him at his word. We are not to creep upon these promises as though they are fragile and will break if we lean too heavily upon them. We should stand upon them, confident that God is as good as his word and that he will do what he says he will do. God is a faithful God. He was faithful in meeting the needs of his people, Israel, even though they complained. Why? Because he knew that the complaining was the result of a need that only he could meet. God wants to meet our needs today. He wants to demonstrate his faithfulness to you. Do you need daily bread? Are you in need of a friend you can trust with the present circumstances of your life? Do you question how you can tithe when the bank account is nearly zero? Is your health situation beyond the help of the medical profession? Are you hitting the wall right now and feel like no one really cares? Are you ready to give up on God and all this Christianity stuff? Are you fearful that the church will maybe not exist 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or 50 years from now? God knows all about our questions and even our complaining. Several years ago, when I was going through a difficult time in my life, I had a friend give me a plaque. And on that plaque, it says, "Live by what you trust, not by what you fear." And if you come to my house, you will see that plaque sitting right by my kitchen sink. Because every single day, I look at that and I stand on that promise. Live by what you trust, not by what you fear. Fear is leaning on what could be. Trust is leaning on what is. Amen.